Amen. We have been, for the past several weeks, we have been in a series called With Us. And what we've been talking about is we've been talking about how the birth story of Jesus, how that story reveals that God is with us. And he's with us in real and in tangible ways. And he's with all different kinds of people. In fact, as we've been through this series, we've seen that the story reveals that God is with the doubters. He's with those who wonder whether or not his work or his word is true. He's with even those folks. God is with the lowly. He's with the ones that everyone else has forgotten about, that everyone else kind of casts aside. He's with the rejects. He's with the ones that everybody else thinks are kind of weird and maybe other folks don't want to be around. God is intentionally with those in the story of the birth of Jesus. We talked about how God is with the lonely, about how God is with those of us who are grieving and alone. God is with us even in that situation. And today we're going to talk about how God is with the discouraged. And so as we kind of close the chapter on 2022 and we start this new chapter of 2023, some of us may find ourselves kind of in a season of waiting, right? A season where we've kind of looked at this past year and there were some things that we had kind of hoped for and those things haven't happened yet. And so we're in this period where we're waiting, where we're wondering if these things that we have been hoping for are ever going to kind of come true in our lives. And I can remember a time like that in my life. It was actually one of the most difficult periods of my life. And it was on October the 4th of 1994, I asked Amy Corker to marry me. Okay, awesome, amazing. But then, for reasons I still to this day do not understand, we decided that we would actually get married 10 months later on August the 5th of 1995. Bad decision. It was a terrible decision. Engagement stinks, okay? It's awful. For those of you maybe who are engaged or who are planning to be engaged, I did not like it at all. Like the first 2 or 3 months was fun because I got to call myself a fiance, you know, and I got to call Amy my fiance, and that was fun, and it was fun telling everybody. That was exciting. And then after that, it was just terrible because we knew that we wanted to be married, but we were just going to wait, you know, for another 10 months, okay? Now, having said that, I have two daughters, and let me just say that I'm a proponent of the long engagement, okay? Not trying to, all right? But I'm just saying it was a really difficult time. It was hard because there was this thing that we were dreaming about, that we were hoping for, that we were expecting, but we had to just kind of wait for a period of time for all of that to come to fruition. And that interim period where there's this thing that you're really hoping for, you're really believing for, and that period where that's out there in front of you, but it hasn't come yet or it hasn't happened yet, I don't care who you are, that's tough. That's a difficult, painful season that we walk through. And some of us, we find ourselves there this morning. The difference might be, though, like I knew at the end of 10 months that I was going to get married, or at least I hoped. I was really hopeful that Amy wouldn't figure out who, you know, what a terrible mistake she was making in that 10-month interim. And fortunately, she didn't. But I figured there was a date where all that was going to happen. I felt this assurance that it would. But for some of us, we find ourselves in a position where we're waiting like that. This thing that we've been hoping for that hasn't happened yet, but we don't even know if it's ever going to come to pass. And it's difficult, man. It's hard. Israel was like that. In the years, the centuries, a few centuries before Jesus came, all these promises had been made. The prophets had declared that the Messiah would come, that salvation would come for Israel, that God's rescue was on its way. And for 400 years, it didn't happen. And so Israel went through all kinds of difficulty and painful seasons and periods of oppression and all kinds of terrible things occurred within the nation of Israel as they were waiting on the promised Messiah. And for those of us who are looking back on this period now, 2,000 years later, it's easy for us to skip over those 400 years. I mean, we know how that story ended, right? We know how God fulfilled that promise, but understand that the people of Israel in those years right before Jesus was born, they had been waiting for hundreds of years for God to deliver his rescue, for God to show and reveal his Messiah, and it hadn't happened yet. It was discouraging. They're waiting, wondering if God's rescue would ever come, if God would be true to his word. So maybe it's hard for us to remember that because we know how the story ends, but not hard for us to relate to that. Because many of us, that's where we find ourselves this morning. Kind of stuck in that spot where we're wondering if these things we dreamed of, these things that we've hoped for will ever come to pass. I'm going to start at Luke 22, verse 25, and we're going to talk about a man named Simeon. You may or may not be super familiar with this part of the story of the birth of Jesus, but we're going to kind of zero in on Simeon and talk about his experience this morning. And God's going to reveal some truth to us, particularly to those of us who find ourselves discouraged, who find ourselves waiting. The first truth that we hear in this passage that I believe God wants for you and I to really grab onto this morning is this: God speaks to those who listen. Let's look at verse 25 and 26. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 2, 25 and 26. It says, "At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and revealed to him that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Messiah." Now, when we look at this passage, one thing that's not maybe immediately clear to those of us, you know, who don't speak Hebrew, right, is that Simeon's name means he who hears. The name Simeon means the person who hears. And what we understand about Simeon is that Simeon was a person who was really committed to hearing from the Lord, to listening to the Lord. So Simeon, like all of Israel, was waiting for God's salvation. He was devout. He was seeking after the Lord. But this passage tells us he was eagerly waiting for God's rescue to come. And so he had committed himself to listening to the Lord. And God had revealed to him, you know, also, hey, I'm going to reveal the Messiah to you before you die. And so Simeon had heard this word from the Lord. He had listened. He'd heard from the Lord. And now he's waiting and he's listening and he's waiting for God to reveal to him the Messiah. That's where Simeon is. And the truth is that a lot of us this morning are anxiously waiting to hear from God, anxiously needing to hear from God, a lot like Simeon. And one thing that we need to remember and understand about Simeon is that Simeon, he who hears, had proactively placed himself in a position where the Lord could speak to him. The passage tells us he was devout, he was righteous, and he was surrounding himself with the things of God, with the people of God. He was proactively putting himself in a position where he could hear from the Lord. But the other thing that Simeon was doing, and this is what the scripture means by devout and by righteous, is that Simeon was submitting his will for his life to God. He had submitted himself to God. And when scripture talks about listening, when scripture talks about us hearing God, that's what it means. Listening means submitting. So for those of us here this morning who are really needing a word from God, I believe there's someone here this morning who you have been praying and you've been saying, "Lord, I need you to speak to me. I need you to direct me. I need your instruction, right? I need a word from you." We love to pray those prayers. But can I humbly suggest that one reason why you may not be hearing from God right now is because you haven't placed yourself in a position to listen. You haven't placed yourself in a position to hear. Listening means submitting. And if you want to hear from God this morning, the first thing that you're going to have to do is submit yourself to God. And that's an important place for us to begin this morning. There's no hearing, there's no listening without humility and without surrender. That's how it works. And so until we're willing to take our will for our lives, our desires for our lives, and lay those down before the Lord God Almighty, we shouldn't expect to hear from Him. I think that's an important thing for us to remember. So I want you to ask God, are there any areas in my life that are not surrendered to You? If you're here this morning, you need to hear from God. You need a word from the Lord, but you're not getting it. Ask God, are there areas of my life that are not surrendered to You? If you're anything like me, the answer that comes back is yes, lots, right? And the Lord starts to reveal those things to you. And then as we surrender to Him, the Lord is able to speak. I want you to imagine, though. I want you to imagine God speaks this incredible promise to Simeon. You are not going to die until you've seen the Messiah. And then after he receives this promise, we don't know when he receives it in his life. Maybe he received it as a young man. But after he receives this promise, you're not going to die until you have seen the Messiah. Then what happens? Nothing. That's the short answer. Nothing happens. For years and years and years and years, nothing happens. And so Simeon's getting older. His body is failing. He knows that his life is winding down, that he doesn't have much longer on earth, right? And wouldn't it be natural for a person in Simeon's situation who had heard from the Lord, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah, wouldn't it be natural for a person in Simeon's position to think, is God going to do what He said? Is God's word in my life going to come to pass? Simeon was living in a period of silence. And for you and I, another truth that we need to get from Simeon's life this morning is be faithful in the silence. Be faithful in the silence. I mean, Simeon's waiting. There's a lot of uncertainty, but he remains faithful to God. He remains devout. Simeon chooses to trust God. And look, Simeon's not the only one. All throughout Scripture, we see people like this. We see people who they're required to trust God in the silence. The whole story of Israel begins with Abraham. Abraham, who God appears and says, look, you're going to have more descendants than there are stars in the sky, right? I'm going to bless you. You from your descendants, there are going to be kings and nations. You're going to have more descendants than stars in the sky. And then, guess what? He can't have a baby, right? His wife doesn't get pregnant for years and years and years. And then they're super old, right? And they're like, look, I don't even think I can have a baby. I don't even think that's possible anymore, like, you know, biologically. And then even if we could, man, I'm old. Am I going to be able to chase a little kid around? I mean, all of these things are in his mind. And God had made this promise to him, and the promise wasn't coming to pass. No word. No word from the Lord. In fact, Abraham gets so nervous about it that he actually does a crazy thing, right? And he has a child with his wife's servant, right? They're like, well, maybe we're supposed to do this on our own, in our own strength. And you remember how that worked out. Terrible is how it worked out for everybody. And in fact, the descendants of his wife's servant end up waging war against his family for years and years and years. That's what happens when we're not faithful in the silence, when we try to take everything under our own control. And a lot of us, that's where we're tempted right now. We're tempted. We feel like God made these promises. We feel like there's this thing that God wants to do in our lives. And we're just not hearing from Him. There's nothing happening. And so the temptation is to try to make something happen, to try to do it in our own strength instead of surrendering and submitting to the Lord, instead of remaining faithful to the Lord. Anybody feel like that? Anybody feel like this, that you're in this place where the promises of God are not being fulfilled in your life? Here's the question. It's the question that's before you and the question that's before me this morning. Will you trust God? Will you trust Him? Friends, this is the fundamental question that all of us have to answer every moment of every day in our lives. It's just magnified when we're in these periods where we feel like the Lord has said something or promised something or there's something that we really want to happen in our lives and it's just not happening, when we're not hearing from God. And so what all of us are supposed to do in those moments is turn our hearts toward the Lord. The temptation is to get upset, to get angry, to even get bitter and to turn our hearts away from God. But what the Lord wants for us to do is recognize trust is an act of will. We decide whether or not we're going to trust someone. We decide whether or not we're going to trust God. And so when we decide, I'm going to trust God because God is trustworthy. When we decide that, then we lean into the things of God. We consciously, proactively choose to center our hearts on Jesus, to place our trust in Him. That's what Simeon did. And that's what God is calling you and I to do, even when we find ourselves in a place of silence. Here's another truth from this passage of Scripture. The Spirit leads those the Spirit fills. The Spirit leads those that the Spirit fills. Look at what it says in verse 27. It says, that day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. The Spirit led him to the temple that day, right? That's how come he knew where he was supposed to be. That's how come he was in the place where he was supposed to be at the right time. And when we allow ourselves to be filled by the Spirit, we will be led by the Spirit. That's how it works. And here's the other thing. The Spirit is leading us always, even through times when it feels as if God is not responding to us. The Holy Spirit is directing and guiding and leading us. Now look, every time, maybe it's because we're a Baptist church, but every time I talk about the Holy Spirit, I can see some of you guys go, oh, Brad, you know, don't get weird on me now. You know, so some of you are like, man, I can see your eyes glaze over just a little bit. I don't know what you're talking about right now, because sometimes we think about the Holy Spirit and we haven't talked about it very much, frankly, in our tradition. And when somebody talks about it, we're afraid things are about to get weird. Okay? And so let me just answer that question for you in a couple of ways. First of all, if you think things get weird whenever the Holy Spirit comes up, you're right, okay? The Holy Spirit does things in our lives that are amazing sometimes, that are even beyond our ability to grasp or understand. But here's the truth that all of us as believers need to understand, right? We understand as Christians that God is a triune God, right? That means that He is the Father, He's the Son, He is the Holy Spirit, right? And for some of us who grew up Baptist, we think God is the Father, God is the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? We don't want to talk about the third part of the Trinity, right? But let me just tell you, it is God's desire. It is God's desire to pour His Spirit out on you and I. It's God's desire that you and I would walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's God's desire. And you don't need to hear that from me. Just read the New Testament, right? Read the book of Acts. Clearly, what God wants to do is fill us with His Holy Spirit and fill us with the power and the authority that comes from the Holy Spirit so that we can proclaim His name in the world. So that His miracle power goes with us wherever we go, and we will testify to the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly, that's what He wants to do. And so for some of us, maybe one reason why we're not hearing from the Lord, maybe we're praying, we're just seeking, we're just not hearing anything. Maybe it's because we're just not allowing ourselves to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Well, what would happen this morning if you and I were to say to the Lord, look, God, I want whatever it is that you want for me. Fill me with your Spirit. If we'd say that prayer with no strings attached and mean it, let me tell you what I know about the Lord God. He answers that prayer every time. Buckle your seatbelt, though, If we pray that prayer and we ask the Lord to do that, we better be ready because God, if you don't need to listen to me. Just read through Scripture. You'll see when the Holy Spirit shows up, things get crazy. And it's awesome. But that's what the Lord God wants to do in you. That's what He wants to do in me. Be filled by the Spirit so that you can be led by the Spirit. That's what happened with Simeon. And that's how come he ended up in the temple on the day that Jesus came. So the Spirit leads those that the Spirit fills. But here's another thing, and this is where it's going to get really important for us to lock in. Listen to this. God's presence is the blessing. And we've been talking about this all throughout this series, but it's important that we end this series talking about this. Listen, look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. Simeon, he took the child in his arms, and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you prepared for all people. He's a light to reveal God to the nations, and he's the glory of your people, Israel." I don't know if you caught this, but did you see the very first part of that? Let me read it again. He took the child in his arms. Guys, at some point in his life, the Lord said to Simeon, "You will not die before you see the Messiah." And on this day, and when Simeon's an old man, right, he walks into the temple and the Lord reveals to him, this baby, Jesus, is the Messiah. And then Mary takes baby Jesus and puts him in Simeon's arms. He held the salvation of the world. He held the Son of God in his arms. And that was the blessing. That's what God wanted to do in him and for him. That was the blessing that God had for him. His presence, the touch of the baby Jesus in Simeon's arms against Simeon's chest, that was the blessing. And guys, that's the way the Lord God always works. His blessing is his presence. What God wants to give to you is himself. That's what he wants to give you. It's himself. Now look, we're praying for all kinds of other things, right? And Simeon was praying for all kinds of, he was praying for Israel to be rescued. He was praying for the yoke of Roman oppression to be thrown off. He was praying for all kinds of things that the prophets had declared earlier on. He was praying for all kinds of things. The blessing that he received was the presence of the Son of God. And you and I are praying for all kinds of things. There are all kinds of things that we want to see happen in our lives. I don't know what your prayer is. Maybe your prayer is for healing in your marriage. Maybe your prayer is for a wayward son or a daughter to just really catch on fire for the Lord Jesus. Maybe your prayer is that you want to have a child and it hasn't happened yet. Maybe your prayer is for a breakthrough at work. Maybe your prayer is for a career change or a career move. Maybe, I don't know what it is you're praying for. And sometimes those prayers, they're not just things that we're praying for. Sometimes they're things that we feel like that the Lord has told us he wanted to do for us. We're praying for all those things. And listen, God answers prayers, right? God fulfills his promises. But what he wants most to give to you is himself. That's what he wants to give to you, and that's what he wants to give to me, his presence. That's the blessing. And our question has to be, do we want God's presence more than we want God's blessing? So many times, the answer to that is no, or I'm not sure. See, this thing that I've been wanting, that I've been asking for, it's really important to me. And maybe this morning, we just need to be honest and acknowledge, guess what? I have decided that I want this thing I'm praying for more than I want the presence of God, more than I want to know God. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is talking about all of these things, right, that about himself, that were attributes that he should be able to take pride in. Like there were things that other people, if they looked at him, they would have thought, those are really cool things about Paul, right? He was trained as a Pharisee. He was trained among by one of the greatest teachers in the Jewish tradition. He was zealous. He was devout. He was all of these things, right? He gets to the end of this list in Philippians chapter 3, and in verse 7, he says this. He says, but all those things, I consider them a loss. And he says, what's more, I consider all things a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, for whose sake I've already lost all things. He says, I consider them rubbish. I consider them trash in order that I might be found in Christ. In order that I might know Christ, right? Not having a righteousness of my own, right? But that comes from the law, but that which is from God, that which is by faith. And then he says this, listen, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to share in the fellowship of his sufferings. That's what he says. So that I too might obtain resurrection from the dead. Here's what Paul understood and what he wanted for the Philippians to understand. All of it, all of these things that he had gained, all of this education that he had received, all of this position that he had attained in his life, all of it was trash. The word literally means dung heap. It means pile of poop. That's what he says. It's all trash compared to Jesus. Nothing matters but Jesus. And I want to know Jesus. I don't want to know about Jesus. I don't want to know things about Jesus. I want to know Jesus. And so listen, if that means suffering as Jesus suffered, bring it on. Nothing matters to me but Jesus. There's no blessing that I could receive that would matter more to me than knowing Jesus, than being with Jesus. And friends, if for us, if we're going to be where God wants us to be, if we're going to be the people that God wants for us to be, we've got to come to a place in our lives where we say, I consider them all loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. Some of us have forgotten that the promise of God is his presence. The blessing of God is his presence. And we've stopped hungering and thirsting after that because we've begun to hunger and thirst after these other things that we desire, that we want in our lives. And today's the day we strip it all back. And remember that the only thing that matters is Jesus Christ himself. God's blessing is the promise. And finally, listen to this. God's blessing is not always what we expect. Verse 32. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He's been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. You know what? I think anybody who's been a parent understands that passage of Scripture. Because it doesn't matter how amazing your kids are, how much you love them, and how awesome it is raising your incredible kids, right? It doesn't matter. At some point in the life of your child, a sword pierces your soul. That's part of being a parent. But imagine Mary. Imagine Mary who an angel had appeared to and said that she was going to be the mother of the salvation of the world, of the Son of God. Imagine Mary. Imagine what the emotions that she must have been going through as she was wrestling with all this. And then when the baby was born and shepherds came running in to declare that he was the Son of God, and an angel choir had been singing to them, right? And a star had appeared over them, right? Imagine Mary, who all these signs and wonders had taken place. Imagine her as she heard the words of Simeon, a sword will pierce your very soul. I think about this passage a lot. Because it did. She watched her son tortured and beaten and murdered. She saw him die. She saw him rejected by his countrymen. She saw him cast out. She saw him wrongly accused and convicted. She saw him murdered. A sword pierced her own soul. And I want to say, you know, Simeon, in this moment, he's experiencing the salvation of God. And then he talks about what that salvation is going to look like. And the expectation is that the Messiah would bring peace, that the Messiah would exalt Israel, that Israel would be restored to political autonomy. That's what everyone expected. Simeon says God's salvation will be the downfall of many. That Mary and Joseph would experience the glory of God's salvation, but also they would experience pain. They would experience sacrifice. Here's something I need for you to hear. When God shows up, it often doesn't look like we expect it to look. In fact, y'all, listen. When God shows up, it almost never looks like what God, like what we expect it to look. I mean, look, if Jesus is the example of God showing up, and we believe he is Emmanuel, God with us. If he's the example, friends, then what we can know about when God's presence actually shows up, when God finally delivers on his promise, what we can know about that is that it will not look anything like what we thought it would. Our expectations for God's presence, God's deliverance, God's salvation, they're not going to be fulfilled in the way we think they will. What we can also know is that when God shows up, remember, God's promise is his presence. God's blessing is his presence. What God wants to give you is himself. That's what he wants to give you. And that's the most important thing. Nothing else matters but that, right? So when God shows up, that's what's in his heart. That's what's in his mind. And sometimes, always, receiving what God wants to give us of himself will mean sacrifice. It will mean we have to lay things down. It will mean things aren't always going to be easy. Tied up in a neat little bow won't mean that we're not ever going to walk through pain or discouragement or heartache. We will, sometimes because we've chosen to follow him. That's the truth. You could go to some other churches and they would tell you that if you follow the Lord, that everything's, you can just tiptoe through the daisy fields, you know, and you, everything will come your way and money will just flow right into your pockets without you even doing anything. And people will just deliver, you know, custom SUVs to your door. They'll tell you that. They'll tell you that, if you just follow the Lord, you just believe in God, you just trust him, then you're going to have certain kinds of houses and wear certain kinds of clothes. They'll tell you all those things. But I got to be honest with you, when I read scripture, that's just not what I see. What I see is God giving himself, the gift of himself to his people. And that gift is so much bigger than any of these material blessings that we sometimes so desperately desire. And sometimes the blessings are, they're not just material. They're not, those things feel insignificant. Sometimes they're bigger things than that. Sometimes they're things that we've really hoped for, that we've really desired in our lives. But what God wants to give us is so much more than that. And sometimes God's blessing means that we have to lay down our own expectations. We have to sacrifice our own desires for our lives so that we can receive what he desires for our lives. And I'm not going to stand up here as your pastor and pretend like that's easy. It's not. It's hard. It's sometimes painful. But it's worth it. It's more than worth it. When I was engaged to Amy, like I wanted to get to the wedding as quickly as possible. Like if we could have eloped, you know, a week from when we got engaged, I would have been all for that, right? What I didn't understand at that time was that I had no idea what being married to Amy was going to be like. None whatsoever. I know this is true because not too long ago, I literally sat across the table from a young man who was asking to marry my daughter, and I said to myself, he has no idea what he's asking for. I had no clue. I couldn't have imagined on October the 4th, 1994, what beautiful things God was going to do in my life because of my relationship with my wife. And you know, the things that I was really excited about, the things that I was, I'm not going to get too technical here, but the things I was really excited about, things that I really was looking forward to in married life, like, those are beautiful and amazing parts of being married, but they're just parts of this amazing fabric, this beautiful whole. I didn't have any idea how beautiful and overwhelming and amazing it was going to be married to Amy. I had no idea. I had no idea what it was going to cost me either. I had no idea what parts of myself I was going to have to lay down. I had no idea how hard the hard times were going to be. I had no idea the painful truths that I was going to have to realize about myself, that being married to Amy was going to reveal about me, these painful, dark truths about myself that I was going to have to wrestle with as a result of being married to her. I didn't know that. How could I have known that? But I got to tell you guys something. This year is going to be 28 years of being married to Amy. And it is without any doubt the single greatest thing that has happened in my life. It's the single greatest thing that is happening every day. I am unfathomably grateful for the gift that God has given me in my wife. It's all been worth it. In fact, as I say those words, it's all been worth it, that seems like I'm not even doing it justice. I don't deserve any of it. It's been more than worth it. Whatever cost I've paid is not nearly what I'm receiving. Friends, this is what God wants to do in your life. He wants to give you himself. He wants to give you himself. And yes, it will cost you. Yes, there will be things that you will have to lay down. And yes, it will feel like sometimes that you're beating your head against the wall of these, the things that you want or the person you want to be, like it's just not happening. But if you'll trust God and if you'll lean into his presence, what I'm telling you is the gift you receive is so much greater than you can even ask or imagine right now. Later on this year, we're going to talk about this passage of Scripture, but Apostle Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father from whom his whole family on heaven and on earth derive its name. I pray that you might be strengthened out of his glorious riches, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. And he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, might have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long, and how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, you might be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. Paul says, I just want you to stand. I just want you to stand at the edge of the vast, wild canyon of God's love. You can't get your head all the way around it, but you can grasp a little bit the immensity of it. I want you just to begin to see it and to know it. That's what God wants to do in you, through you, this morning, if you'll let him. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up. And while they're coming, I want to pray for you. And I want to pray first for those of you who feel like you're in a period of silence where the Lord's just not answering you and you don't understand why you're not hearing from God. Right now, I want to pray for you. And I want to pray also for those of you here this morning who maybe you've been coming to church or you've been around church your whole life, but you've never thought about standing at the edge of the vast canyon of God's love and experiencing that as being directed toward you, as being given to you. You never thought about the Lord God, the God who spoke the universe into being, doing all of that because he wants to make himself known to you. You've never thought about that. And the idea of having a relationship with the Lord God, you've not considered that even. Man, if that's you, I believe that God is about to do something in your life that's absolutely going to blow your mind. If you'll let him, if you'll surrender to it. And the way we do that is we just say to God, we say, God, I need you. I understand, right? My attempts to make my own life work, they're not working. I need you. Please rescue me. I give all that I am to you. If you'd surrender to God like that this morning, if you would do that, the Lord of the universe will make his home in you, will cause his name to dwell on you. He will give you the blessing of himself, the greatest gift. Can hold the child in your arms today. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. Let me pray for you. Father, I want to lift up this morning all of those with us who are discouraged, who are waiting. I want to lift up those folks, maybe even who feel distant from you, who are asking you, coming before you with a request, Lord, and they feel like that they're not being heard by you. I want to lift those folks up to you this morning. Would you, God, cause them to be able to feel your presence, your spirit moving in them? Would you give them the courage today, Lord, to just turn their hearts to you through an act of will, to just say today that they trust you, God, even in the silence, they trust you and to lean into your presence, God. I pray that you would just move in their hearts this morning. And I pray that they would just be assured, God, that you're moving on their behalf. You love them. I pray that they would receive that assurance from you this morning and that you're giving them yourself. I pray they would hear that. They would understand that, God. They would receive it this morning. And Lord, I pray for those who don't know you today. I pray that they would have the courage, God, to surrender their lives to you. After all, God, you are the God who would part the sea on our behalf. You are the God, Lord, who spoke the universe into being and who performed miracle after miracle on our behalf because you desire for us to know you. That's who you are. And we can live in the freedom of your love if we surrender to you. Give us the courage today to no longer be slaves to fear. Give us the courage today to surrender our lives to you so that we can be your children, God. That's what you want to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray.